Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Before we dive into this episode, I just wanted to interrupt you guys and let you know that there are some audio issues for the first 7 minutes of the episode. So please bear with me and I promise the sound and everything will get better. I hope you guys really enjoy this episode and thank you so much for listening. Hey guys, I hope you are doing well. Today I have another special guest. I have Dara Pollack. She is the founder of The Skinny Pig, also known as Skinny Pig NYC on Instagram. So welcome.
Thank you. You got everything right. I'm so proud.
Yes. I always practice a little because I'm like, I don't want to screw it up, especially when they're like sitting right across from me.
I know the feeling, but you did great.
Thank you. So I would love to begin by just having you give us a brief overview of who you are, what you do, and what your relationship is with the city.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I'm Dara. I'm from Queens originally, and I am a writer, food blogger, influencer, photographer. I don't know. I have like 5 different jobs. I recently made the Skinny Pig Inc., and I'm like incorporated now because...
Wait, can you tell me about that process?
Yeah, oh my God, it's such a pain in the ass. I mean, like, it's not... Okay, I'm being dramatic. It's not that big of a deal. It's just like you have to go through a bunch of things that like you would never think, like having to... like announce it publicly or something. Like I had my like accountant.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's weird. Like you have to like take out an ad basically or something, and like they do all this for you.
I mean, you just pay and then
you do, and they handle everything.
Yeah,
I don't know what they do, but they're like, we have to announce it publicly. I'm like, what does that mean? Also, can I curse?
Yeah,
I just realized.
Go okay, for it.
I curse a lot. It's a problem. But yeah, like I basically paid my like accountant. He handled everything and like filed all the things with the state, and you just kind of pay for it and like. Again, he handled it. I have no idea.
Wait, I need to ask you what motivated you to do that, because I have been debating whether or not I should do it, and I'm on the fence of like, I can do it, but do I need to?
Right. So the reason that I did it was because I do social media management and like branding consulting for restaurants and like PR companies and hospitality groups and things like that. So I was getting paid all these different ways, and it just got to be such a nightmare, because when you're filing your taxes and stuff, it's just like, there's a million 1099s flying in. And like,
wait, that happens to me. Yeah, I just did my taxes.
Same. It's such a nightmare. And like right now, since I just did the incorporated thing, I really only got incorporated, I think it was like September of 2018. So most of my stuff from last year was on my personal, and like going through everything and like taking out stuff that's like personal versus your business technically. Oh my God. So that's why I did it, because it just makes it easier to kind of keep track of all the things that like, if I pay people to do anything like photographers, mm-hmm. or any help on projects, and then when people pay me, they just pay the corporation, and like that's, you know, that's
oh,
it. So that's
great.
Why I did,
yeah, it. Maybe I'll ask you advice about that later.
Yes. Offline. But yeah, so like that's part of what I do, is social media management and like branding consulting stuff for restaurants. I've worked with a bunch of PR companies in the city here too on similar things like that. And but yeah, basically that, and I'm a writer, blogger, photographer, like I said, social media influencer. Hate that term, but
yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
So we actually, I think, spoke about this earlier. You were a dancer, correct? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about that background?
Yes. So yeah, I was a dancer from, I think I started when I was like 4, you know, I was one of those. And I always wanted to be a dancer my entire life, on like Broadway and stuff. I love like the acting, singing, dancing, whatever. I'm a triple threat. I actually have no idea if that's true anymore. I haven't sang in front of people in probably 10 years. But anyway, so when I was 17 in high school, I got hit by a car and I almost lost my leg from the knee down. I think you know some of this story, mm-hmm. but yeah, so that was obviously a devastating injury, and I, you know, could not pursue my dreams of being a dancer anymore. So I kind of had to find a new creative outlet, and I was in the hospital for a month, completely bedridden. Then when I got out of the hospital, I was still on bed rest for a few months. I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk. I had to like learn how to walk all over again. I mean, I was lucky that I even kept my leg considering what happened. And I still knew that I was never gonna be able to dance again professionally. So I kind of took some solace in like food, like watching food shows. I watch Food Network all the time, and just like watching people cook, I found so relaxing and cathartic, kind of. So that's kind of how the whole obsession with food started, I think, like right after that, you know.
And did you ever study food, or was it more of like self-taught, a self-discovery, a journey for you?
Yeah, I didn't have any professional training like graduating a culinary school, but I did take a lot of classes at culinary schools. You know, they do like what's that word I'm looking for? God, it's been so long since I've been in school. It's like continuing education type classes.
Right.
Like, that's probably not the word, but I took like those types of classes at French Culinary, ICE, the New School, and also just like restaurants around the city that do like cooking classes. Mm-hmm. I did that too, so I have like knife skills, stocks, things.
Oh, wow.
Like that. Yeah,
look
I did
you.
All that. Yeah. So I did all that, but never went to culinary school because it was just too expensive. I could not. Mm-hmm. Like, my family, we don't come from money, so everybody was like, yeah, that's not happening. So here I am. Yeah.
So you grew up in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
How is that like? Like, did you always love the city? What is your like your favorite part, your least favorite part? Tell me your relationship with New York.
Okay, so my relationship with New York is like, it's definitely a love hate, but like more love than anything else. I mean, I've never left here. I've traveled everywhere, but like I've never lived anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I've only lived in New York, and that was partially because of the whole accident thing. Like, I really did want to go away to college, but at that time I had to have surgery on my leg like every few months this is like hard to explain on a podcast, but I had like a huge skin graft on my leg, and I used to have to take like, they would remove a piece every like 4 or 5 months. So I was like, what am I gonna do, go away to college, and then every spring break and summer, like all the fun stuff, I have to be back here for surgery. So I just stayed in New York. But anyway, so yeah, I grew up in Queens, but my dad and, you know, my parents got divorced when I was like 4. So my dad lived in Manhattan since I was like 5. So every weekend was pretty much spent here in Manhattan, and then the weeks were spent in Queens. So I, you know, have always loved Manhattan. I knew like ever since I was a kid, and I would visit my dad here on the weekends. We would have so much fun, and like my dad is the most energetic person. He would just like take us everywhere, like all the touristy crap that, you know, I would never do now, but I always knew I wanted to live here at some point, and I did right after college for like 3 years. I lived in Midtown, and then I moved to Williamsburg, bought my apartment there in Williamsburg.
Hey, wait, I had no idea you went to FIT, so tell me, what did you study?
I know, you're probably like, you're dressed like shit, what are you doing in your life? But yeah, no, so basically I just knew that I had to stay in New York for like the surgeries on my leg and stuff. I kind of had to be here always, so I decided to study advertising and marketing at FIT. Like, it was not like I wanted to be a designer, it was nothing like that. I just felt like, oh, the fashion industry, that sounds cool, like whatever. It sounds like really chic, and I wear black all the time, this makes sense. And then it just ended up being that I liked the school, I loved my professors, but I didn't like the environment. I did like some internships in a couple fashion houses, and I hated it. It was just like so catty. Somebody was always crying. I was like, I can't, this is not.
I've been there,
yeah.
So I can relate.
not for me, yeah.
And then, so you started The Skinny Pig after college, correct?
Right, yeah, so I started it right after, because when I graduated in 2007, late 2007, I started looking for a job in 2008 where the economy was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not find a job for shit, so I ended up getting a temp job. I guess I won't say where, but the people were super nice, so like I'm not gonna like
right
the company, but it was just not for me. Like, I was doing like coding, like JavaScript, like CSS. I was like, how do I even get this job?
Good at coding then?
No, I have no idea what I was doing. I was doing like content management stuff, like on the back end of like their website, but it's
okay.
A very, very big medical pharmaceutical website, so
mm-hmm.
You'd probably be like, that seems too important for you. So, I basically was just so bored that I was like, I need a new creative outlet for this. Like, while I'm sitting here at this cubicle for 9 hours a day doing God knows what. Like, because my work there wasn't that extensive. It was
mm-hmm.
like, here's this coding you do in the morning, but then I would have, like, 3 hours of doing nothing. So I was like, I actually took that coding that I learned, though, and I made my blog, because now I'm on WordPress, but at the time I think I used Typepad and, like, you had to like know some coding stuff. Okay. So it actually kind of helped. But yeah, so I started it in 2008. So that's how long I've had my that's how long I've had my blog.
Well, that's good though, because you're an OG blogger.
Exactly. Yes.
So Instagram, I think, started around, and excuse the dog. There's a dog in the recording building.
Yes, I know. I was like, hearing that. I'm like, that's not in my brain, right? Yeah.
So Instagram, I believe, started around 2011 or 2012-ish.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
So did you get on that right away?
Not right away, no. I didn't start my Instagram. First of all, it was my personal initially. Like, it wasn't my food thing right away. I changed it. Mm-hmm. But I want to say I started it maybe 2013 or 2014. So I was a little bit late with it. But like I said, I switched it from my like personal, whatever it was, like Dara 411 or something really creative like that, to Skinny Pig NYC. I want to say that I switched that over maybe in 2014.
Oh, wow.
Like
okay.
Yeah, so I was a little bit late in the game on that. Mm-hmm.
But did you see other food bloggers like on Instagram? Because obviously I love food, mm-hmm. but those weren't the people that I was following at that time.
Right.
So what was that scene like?
You know, what's weird is like, I don't even remember like why I did it really in the first place. Like, I just had discovered Instagram and I was, again, using it as my personal, but then I was like, you know what, this is a really good place to house my food photos, because it seemed like there was a lot of food, and for whatever reason, back when the algorithm was actually good and didn't screw everyone over, I used to see a lot of food organically pop up on my feed. So I think that's why I did it. But then I remember I followed like Brunch Boys, One Hungry Jew, you know, Cheat Day Eats, and these are all people who are like my friends now, basically. So it's just funny because at the time the scene was so different than it is now.
Totally. But it's good that you're also doing different things and you're not just focusing on Instagram, because I don't know, recently I've been thinking about just the longevity of this career, and I'm totally not sure where that's gonna be yet.
Same, girl, I feel you. I have been in the same like kind of existential crisis with where I'm just like, I'm a little bored of it, to be honest with you. Like, I do, don't get me wrong, like, I love food and I always will, but like, I've been doing it for so long now and full time now. I think I started doing it full time, like the Instagram and, you know, social media stuff in 2015. And it's just like, it's like anything else. It's like any other job, you know, you get a little bored, you need new projects. And I agree, I never wanted my whole existence to just be on Instagram. What if Instagram goes away?
Look, can we talk about the blackout apparently that happened?
Yes.
I was so happy that it happened.
I know.
And we're referring to that one day. It was like this past Wednesday, so it's going to be 2 weeks from when this podcast goes live. But people were losing their shit.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Do you have Twitter?
I do. Yes.
Okay, were you on Twitter?
Yes.
Just to see. Okay. I have
not a lot, because I was at a happy hour for my friend's birthday, but I was checking in and it was hilarious.
So I was on Twitter. I have it. I'm not crazy active on it, but it's, you know, same. I like it every now and then. The amount of people who were complaining, as you know, and there were these hilarious memes, and just like, I'm like, it's not that serious.
Right.
Instagram is down, like, go live your life.
But that's the thing, is like, if it is your entire, like, if you're somebody who has basically all their content and all their money comes from Instagram, I can see how someone would like lose their shit over it. I could see it. I'm glad I'm not one of them, but like, I could definitely see it.
You see, what's weird is I'm like, kind of one of them, but kind of not.
The same.
And
I mean,
you know, and for me, I was like, okay, first of all, I know Instagram is gonna come, it's gonna be up and running in a, you know, even if it takes a day or 2 days, whatever, it's not actually like gone. But it was a good excuse to kind of not be on it. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was telling my friends, I'm like, Instagram should make a rule and not work on the weekends.
Oh my God.
Can you think about that?
Can
life would be amazing.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing that's so funny, is like, a lot of people, and I don't know if you get this too, but, and like I said, I could talk about this shit forever because I think about it so much, but like, I don't know if you get this from your friends, but people who watch you on Instagram and like on your Instagram stories, do they say things like, oh my God, your life is so amazing?
Oh, 100%.
And I'm just like, it's really not. Like, don't get me wrong, there's aspects of it that are
totally
cool, but
you're not like showcasing what you do behind the scenes.
Right. Like, and I'm just like, it's such a small snippet. And the truth is, when I go out and I'm just out with my friends and I don't have to be like photographing anything, I like enjoy the shit out of that. Like, it's my favorite thing now. If somebody's like, let's go to a restaurant and it's not comped and I don't have to take photos, I'm like, holly fucking loop. Yeah. Like, seriously.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm not a food blogger, but mm-hmm. I love food.
Right.
So, of course, like, in stories, I'll showcase it. Not even for being, like, a collaboration. Just, like, in general. Mm-hmm. It's part of a life. Like, something that I enjoy. And everybody always asks me, like, oh, you're dining in all these fancy places and all that. And, you know, it must be so nice. But I'm like, no, it's just what I like to do. It's just like right. you showcasing, you know, what yeah. you do, you know?
Right, exactly.
And, I don't know.
And now it's become like forced, and I don't know. I just feel like that's when it starts to go downhill, is when you start to force the content and you're just like, I don't know. Like I said, I could talk about that
yeah.
end of it forever.
I mean, I totally, literally right now in my life, I have this weird just feeling of not uncertainty, but mm-hmm. kind of questioning what the hell am I doing. I love the fact that I've been transitioning into travel, as I'm yep. pretty sure you know, and I love it, but I don't know. It's
a lot, though. It's a lot. Travel's a lot. I'm going to London on a press trip this coming Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know it's a press trip.
Yeah. Fun. Oh, yeah, it's a press trip. So yeah.
For how long?
Just a week. Like, we're going to London, like, different parts, and I think also a day or so in Scotland. I think it's Great British Food as the company.
That's so yeah, amazing. So, I'm actually going to Singapore on Thursday.
Oh my God.
As a press trip.
That's crazy. So, but like, it's amazing, but I don't know if you agree with this, but it's still work. Like,
it's people, totally work.
You know, people look at me and they're like, oh my God, but it's like, you get a free trip to whatever. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of that, but you have to still earn your keep for that. Like, it's not vacation.
I was just going to say, no. Like, there are things that maybe you want to do, right. you can't do.
Exactly.
And you, I don't know, I feel like I'm never 100% present.
No,
and that's
yeah.
such a shame, because yeah. I'll be in these exotic places and I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Yep.
But I cannot totally detach my my work mindset
yeah.
with vacation mode.
Because you're worried about, like, literally, I was in Indonesia for 2 weeks back in October, November. It was like end of October into November, and it was also a press trip, and it was amazing. I mean, it was 2 weeks. Like, again, who's gonna say no to that? Mm-hmm. But it was a huge group of influencers and writers and media, whatever, bloggers, and it would be like you step out into this beautiful place, like you're just saying, and then the next thing you're thinking about immediately is, okay, but where do I get my shot? Like, yeah. where am I gonna get my shot? Okay, do they have food here? Like, oh, that's actually a nice little area over there. Oh, that little jungle monkey. Maybe I can grab him and use him. It's just like,
it's crazy.
You can't relax. I think I had maybe like 2 hours of relaxation that entire time. When I came back from Indonesia, I was exhausted. It was just constant running around, and like, again, loved it, super grateful it happened, and it'll be something I always remember, but it was work. It was not vacation. Like, sorry guys, like,
I know. And people, you know, when they come back from a trip, they're always like, how was your trip?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. you're like, well, you can tell from my stories,
because yeah, exactly.
that's almost an accurate,
right.
especially for a press trip, it's accurate depiction of mm-hmm. what you're doing.
Yeah, you're kind of just constantly running around,
yeah.
usually. But, I mean, I hope that there's a little free time on this one. I think there should be, but either way, I mean, still, I'm excited. I've actually never been to London, which is very weird, I know, so.
Oh my God, really?
I know. I've been
like, I love
so many
London.
Places, but not London. It's weird.
It's the best. It depends, obviously, what your itinerary is.
Yeah.
Because I think you should definitely have some free time.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. Yeah. And the weather is going to be...
Oh, is it going to be nice now?
I think so.
Cool.
No, I think it's a great time. And it's also a little bit off-peak.
Okay.
It's not like where everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, that's true. Awesome.
So let me bring it back to the city. Because
yes.
that's like the you know, foundation for this podcast.
Yes.
What is one of the craziest experiences or encounters you've had in the city, and it have only happened in New York?
Oh my God, wait, that's tough, because I've had so many
wait,
crazy
Wait, do you know the
there.
Instagram subway creature?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Subway creature?
I
yeah,
recently
I
discovered it, and it's so funny. Like, when I have a bad day, I get on it, and I'm, like, crying.
Oh my God, do you know one of my other favorite city ones is Midtown Uniform?
No, I don't know what that
oh
is.
Oh my God.
I have
it's
to look
so
for
good.
Wait,
it's
what does it
like
do?
The, it's all, like,
outfits?
Pictures of finance bros, basically. They all have, like, the button-downs and the Patagonia vests with, like, the slacks and, like, the
oh
Sperry
God.
Tops.
That's
like,
hilarious.
And it's just, like, quotes of, like, obviously making fun of them.
Right.
It's, like, three guys who are all in the same outfit. It's, like, Chad, Brad, and Thad going for a walk. Like, it's just, you'll have to see it, and then you'll be like, I get it.
Oh, my God.
You'll appreciate it. But, wow, craziest experience? Yikes. There's so many crazy things that have happened to me. I mean, okay, so, I don't know if this is, like, this is not something that I guess could only happen in New York, but I think about this a lot. So my dad, again, you know, lived in Manhattan since I was five. So I used to come here pretty much every weekend. And I remember when I was like 13, maybe 14, like I was not old. And like my, and you know, this was before cell phones, like I didn't have a cell phone. And me and my friends, like, I think I brought one of my friends from Queens to stay at my dad's that weekend. We met up with a friend of mine who I went to school with, but he actually lived in the city. We met up with him at like Chelsea Piers and went rollerblading at like midnight. And I was 14. Like, sorry, Dad, but what were you doing that you let us do that? But I think it was that, like, we went out maybe earlier than that. We just stayed out. And, like, again, we didn't have phones, so I guess my dad didn't know where we were, because when I came back, he was pissed. But, like, I think about that now, and I'm like, that was so risky. That was ballsy as fuck. Like, why on earth did we do that? But, like, it's also, like, one of my favorite memories. Like, it was just so much fun.
That's how I feel. I think New Yorkers, like, natives, yeah, like, our parents are very trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Just because I think when you are born here,
yeah,
you're almost, like, programmed, mm-hmm, to just have thick skin.
Yes.
To have good judgment.
And to be a little, like, street smart. Like,
totally. You know, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I'm not saying that this is all something I condone, but, like, I completely agree. It's just, you have such a different upbringing here. Like, I started going to clubs when I was, like, 13 again.
Yeah,
that's
what
I recommend.
But, I know. No, I totally relate. Yeah. And I think that's the sirens. Every single time I record, there are sirens.
You can't
it's
get away from
crazy.
It. We're in, like, Flatiron, and for those of you who don't know, it's a very crazy area, so... You know, it adds to the ambiance.
I know. I tell people that all the time. I'm like, I'm actually from New York. I'm not just saying that.
You can tell by the sirens going off every 2 seconds. But yeah.
No, but it's true. Sometimes I think about the stuff that I did as a kid, and I was like, if I have children,
mm-hmm,
hell no, they would not be able to do that, you know?
Exactly. But it's also way different now, because, I mean, literally, kids are, like, born with phones in their hands, so you can keep tabs on them a little bit better. I mean,
right,
like, there were times when I was 16, I had a phone, but, like, you know, it was a phone that, like, didn't work as well as phones do now, and I was in my friend's basement just hanging out, like, in his little basement room, and I didn't get service down there because phones were garbage. My mom was losing her shit. She almost called the cops, and then she showed up to his house because she assumed maybe,
right,
I was, like, with,
yeah,
one of my friends. My friend answers the door, and he's like, my mom's like, where's my daughter? And he just goes, in my basement. I'm like, that sounds really great.
Wait, didn't they used to call the house phones, though? Because they would
late.
Do that.
Like, oh,
okay, because I would do that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I used to have
bad.
A sidekick. Do you remember?
Oh, my God. I never
thing?
Had one, but I know exactly what you're
I mean, technically,
about.
It's actually pretty advanced, because it
yes.
was like a mini, like, computer.
And it was like the thing that everybody would text on. If you wanted to text,
yeah.
that's what you would use.
The little keyboard.
On, like, the little, you know, phone where you had to hit, like, the number 7 button. Get S like 4 times. Or like
you know
T9.
What's so funny actually, when Apple came out with like the touch screen, I was totally against it because
same.
I really like the feeling of like touching the keyboard.
Same. I was so against the iPhone for the longest
God.
Time. I finally caved, but yeah, I know. And it's like now I can't even imagine life without it. It's crazy.
Honestly, I've had my
terrible.
Phone the iPhone for like ever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so that's definitely one of my craziest New York experiences. I mean, there's so many more, but that's definitely
right.
That's up there.
So let's shift gears a little
sure.
bit. And as you've probably already guessed, this is coming because you listen to my podcast. So thank you.
Yeah.
I want to ask you what keeps you up at night. And that can be physically or obviously mentally. And I just want to preface this by saying that I like to ask this because I think it's important to just kind of talk about what the hell we're all going through, because we never take the time to do that. Even like you and I, like we're friends, but we're not like best friends.
Right.
And I think it's good to check up on each other.
Yeah. I
so,
appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me.
Let's see. What keeps me up at night? Okay. Well, so I mean, by nature, I'm somebody who deals with, like, anxiety, and in my past, I've had, like, problems with depression, anxiety, things like that. So when things are not going super well for me, whatever that may be, it's sometimes hard for me to, like, not backslide into, like, a depression state. So sometimes I'll just be up at night just thinking kind of what you were saying before, like, things like, what am I doing with my life? Because, you know, and I don't usually say this, so this is really city confessions right here, but I don't ever really talk about this, but even my friends, like, who are, like, my really, really close friends, like, I don't think that they know really the depth of, like, what it's like to do this for a living, and I think that a lot of them think what I do is a joke, And that kind of sometimes keeps me up at night because I think of like comments that they make here and there that I don't think they mean anything by it. Maybe in like a, like, I don't think there's malintent behind it, but then I still will think about it and I'll ruminate on it because I'm like, what the fuck did they mean by that? You know, and it's like, but that's obviously my insecurity with it because it's like you said, when I was more confident with this, I didn't really give a shit about what people think. But then when I start to lose that sense of like, what am I doing and like the direction, that's when those comments will get to me because it's all like, again, it's all cyclical. It's like my insecurity with it, whatever. So I think that keeps me up at night for the most part now because it's like you said, I need a new project. I'm just kind of bored. Like I don't know where this is going. I don't think anybody does. I heard another sound. It sounds like we're in a tidal wave.
Oh, I think okay. We're good.
But yeah, like I think that's kind of the stuff that keeps me up is just like not, it's like that uncertainty. And like, again, I'm prone to anxiety. So like I try to calm it down with like meditating or just like whatever, watching like a show that I like just to try to get my mind off it. But I think that's probably the most I'd say. Yeah.
So are all your friends non-bloggers?
Most of them. I mean, like I said, I have a few friends who are, do what I do, but I'm not super close with anybody in my circle. Like there's a few that I'm very close with, but other than that, yeah, most of my friends have just like, you know, normal lives, normal jobs. And like, I hate saying the word normal because it's like,
what is normal
right. anymore, but yeah, they all have like regular 9-to-5 or 9-to-6 type jobs. And like, and like I said, I'm sometimes even envious of that, even though I used to do that. I remember what it's like to just actually disconnect and like have a weekend, you know, where I'm not actually just working or, mm-hmm. you know, running around on shoots still, just whatever. So yeah, most of my friends are like, yeah, real job type people.
Have your worlds ever collided? Like, have you ever invited them to maybe a shoot or an event they can, you know, see mm-hmm. what you do?
Yeah, I have. The thing is, it depends now on the, like, I guess, like, the context. So, like, today I told you, like, I'm going to a shoot right after this that for one of my old clients that I used to work for, and I'm doing, like, their whole menu, basically. Mm-hmm. That I would never invite somebody to.
Right, it's a little too,
that's too much. I need to focus. I have, like, my intern coming. She's helping me and, like, whatever. But if it's just, like, come into this restaurant and try our brunch, I'll usually bring a friend, and they, you know, they laugh, they giggle, they make fun of me, like, taking my pictures of my, like, taking my giant camera out of my purse to take a photo of, like, Eggs Benedict. But I think they're used to that because I've been doing that.
I was
going to
say, don't they, like, they were with you when you began this journey.
Yes, but it was always a hobby. So now that it's, like, full time, I think it's just that a lot of them still don't totally understand, like, how do you make money? You know what I mean? So it's like that. And like I said, I think, you know, when I see, like, or when I do, like, an ad, like, hashtag ad on Instagram, I'm like, none of my friends ever comment. It's always the most interesting thing. Everyone follows me, like, my loyal followers, they will comment, and they will be like, oh my god, whatever, but, like, my friends are just like, nope. And I'm like, it's weird, right?
Have they ever, like, asked you questions, though? Like, were they ever intrigued by what you do, or was it more like, that's just her, you know, I'm taking pictures, that's her full-time job?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them don't really ask that many questions. Some people do, because I think some, you know, if I'm somewhere with somebody that I haven't seen in a while, sometimes they'll ask like how I make money, but I don't, it's really not a lot, like I'm saying. And like, again, I don't know that bothers me so much as it's just like, it's interesting, because in a way I wish they would, so they would understand mm-hmm. that like it's not the easiest way mm-hmm. to make a living. And like I'm saying, I get frustrated with it too, so I don't know. It's
no, I can relate.
Yeah,
I think the only thing is that since Instagram has bloomed, then I've made great connections. A lot of my quote unquote blogger friends, like a few years ago, are literally now just like my best friends.
Yeah. See, and that's nice. And I have a couple that are like that too. I have a few really good like blogger Instagram friends, but really like a handful, maybe like 3 or 4. It's not that many. And they also do some different things than I do, so you know, we have all kind of branched out to do our own things, so we don't see each other as much, we don't talk as much, and that's fine. But like, yeah, sometimes when you need somebody to like vent to about this stuff, it's hard because I can't really vent to my friends who don't do it. Mm-hmm. They just don't get it, you know. Yeah, it's tough. Even like my parents, like they don't they still don't understand.
Yeah,
my
parents, they think I'm forget just that living life.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think there's actually some type of jealousy though?
I think there's probably a little bit, which is funny because I'm like, if anybody should be jealous, it should be me being jealous of you because you have a salary and a 401k and mm-hmm. health benefits. But yeah, I think there's probably a little bit, like when I tell people I'm going on a free trip to London, I think people are like, fuck you. Like, yeah. I was complaining last week to somebody about how I'm getting bored of everything, like what I was just saying to you. And one of my friends was literally like, you're bored of eating free food? Fuck you, Dara. And I was just like, it's really not just eating free food. There's so much more that goes into this. But that's what I mean, is like, it's hard to actually complain about it because it sounds great, you know?
I'm not even joking. I'm on the same boat as you because I'm super grateful. Right. I love what I'm doing. I love that I'm able to be my own boss, you know, make my own schedule. I don't think my personality is made for a 9-to-5.
Right, same.
I do envy the stability and the structure that comes with it because I think it's great that every day is different for us, but there's something to be said about just knowing, like, showing up, reporting, and I think it all comes with whether or not you love your job.
Yes.
Like, if you can show up, work a 9-to-6, have all the benefits, and you love what you do.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, I just didn't like my job, so I was like,
same. I hated what I was doing. Like, I was in ad sales before this, and, like, I'm thankful for it because it kind of helped me with, you know, selling my, like, blog and, like, Instagram posts and things like that. Like, I have all that knowledge, but yeah, I fucking hated that job. And, like, it was horrible. It was killing me. I mean, I was so skinny because I was living on vodka sodas and, like, a bacon, egg, and cheese the next day because I was just out entertaining clients every day.
Right.
But, like, I wasn't happy, you know? But so, yeah, that's, I think, the part that, like, I would envy of somebody who actually loves their job and it has, like, a 9-to-6 or whatever it is. But I definitely think
I think because we're in the industry, don't you feel like everybody is doing it? Yeah. And it might be because we're filtering everything. Like, all the people that we follow on our feeds are basically people that do the same thing.
Right.
The events that we attend, they're doing the same thing. This is just our world.
Yeah.
But it does get a little like, oh my God, everybody's...
Yeah. Everybody's doing it. And it's overwhelming. And like, I know you're in a different field than I am. So, like, I do the food thing. The food influencer scene has completely, like, blown.
No,
it's insane.
I attend some of the events, and I'm like...
I kind of stopped, and, like, this is going out to, like, all the, like, PR companies and people who reach out to me. Like, it's nothing against them or their clients. It's just, I don't want to deal with it. I really, like, when I get invited to an event now, unless it's, like, somebody that I know really well and, like, they were like, please, like, do me this favor, I'll go. But I've done it so much now, I'm over it, and, like, I... We'll go another day. I'll go by myself or with a friend. I can't deal with the events. I'm not fighting with a bunch of, no offense, 22-year-olds with phones over a fucking chicken sandwich. I'm not waiting in line to take a picture of a fucking chicken sandwich. I'm just not doing it. So,
no. I will say, first of all, how did we meet?
I think we met at that weekend thing that we did with that app. I don't want to say it.
Wait, I literally forgot about it.
Yeah.
I thought I met you at a food event.
No, I think it was that weekend. I'm pretty sure. And you and I kind of stuck together because we were like,
what? We were like the oddballs out.
Yes.
But, okay, it's great that you mentioned that because now you are, like, bringing back my memory. I swear to God, I have, like, short-term memory.
Oh, no, same. I don't remember what I did yesterday. It's fine.
Okay, I remember when we were eating food and I just remember that you... I had asked a question, I think, about, like, the temperature. I was like, what is this? Or, like, I don't know. I was really confused.
Yeah.
And you gave me such a great answer. It wasn't about, like, this is how you should eat it. Like, you actually had information. Do you remember that?
I don't know.
And I remember telling you, like, oh, my God. Like, you probably were offended. But I said something along the lines, like, wow, you're, like, more than, you're not just a food blogger.
Yeah,
I was like, you actually know what you're talking about. And you were, like... so taken back, you were like, oh my God, like, thank you. Because I think that talks about the industry, and I hope nobody takes offense to this, but a lot of the events I go to, I feel like people, of course, it's, I don't want to say it's easy to take good food photos.
Yeah.
But food is aesthetically pleasing regardless. Like, I think, like, when you look at it, people are going to, it's easy to like a food
if
photo.
If it's plated nicely,
right.
It's not half eaten, then yes.
Right. Then it is, like, what, maybe, like, a fashion photo. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't really know what the hell they're eating or the history of the food, the restaurant, like any of that. It's more like, hey, this is like, oh, look at the cheese.
That's what I'm saying. Well, so that's, again, my biggest gripes with the Instagram industry. And one of the reasons I'm like, again, getting sick of it is because it's shifted so much from people who actually have a really strong passion for it, like me, and like who know their shit. And again, I feel like a lot of people also think I'm younger than I am, which thanks guys, but I'm old. I'm 34. Like, I've been doing this a long time, and I've been really involved in the food industry for a while, and I know my shit. Like, I've gone to a few events, I think it was last year, where that was kind of the last straw for me, because we were there and like famous chefs came out, like famous, I'm not gonna again name names mm-hmm. of anything, but famous chefs, and these kids were like, who are they? And I was like, get the fucking fuck out of here. I was like, are you kidding? It actually made me really angry. I was like, you don't know who that is. Like,
and this is like your world.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, you need to step off, because this is insane that like you don't know who they are, and like they just don't care. Like, they don't care. Yeah. It's like you said, they only care about the cheese pull or like unicorn. Oh my god, there's so much unicorn shit out there. If I see one more unicorn latte, I'm gonna kill myself. So
it's
yeah.
all sugar.
It's just all food coloring. It's like, I can't. But that's the type of stuff that really angers me, is because yeah, it's just, I've seen such a shift in the industry, and I it's almost like I don't want to support that, but then like I don't want to like completely remove myself from
right.
it. So that's been,
and it also has obviously played a kind of a big role in your career as
totally.
Well.
Totally.
So.
Yeah, and like I didn't even realize like that I was feeding into it, but it's funny because when I think back to when I started, I was more about like the food porn and stuff. It's just that you get sick of that after a while, and like I reached that point probably a year or so ago where I was like, I'm, you know, like a photographer now. I know how to take like really nice shots with a really nice camera mm-hmm. and I want to showcase that to my followers, but they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
If I post a really beautifully plated thing of like, you know, I don't know, chicken and whatever, something, vegetables, and it's like really delicious, they'll be like, 300 likes. Mm-hmm. I post a pile of fucking stepped on pigs in a blanket, 5,000 likes. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah.
I think it's good that you are posting, I think also like what you like.
Yeah. I'm doing a
mix. I started to
yeah.
do that as well, and I feel like it makes me so much more happier.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to let go of like the numbers and all
right.
that, even though I know it's there,
it's, hard,
it's visible,
yeah.
but I don't know, you just have to like do your own thing.
I know.
Especially with you, I feel like you have a good grasp with your own aesthetic,
right.
what your branding is, what the imagery that you like
yeah.
is, instead of like all that other.
No, yeah, totally. But I mean, I will say that like there are times when I'm like, yeah, no, fuck this. I'm just posting whatever I want to
mm-hmm.
post and screw the numbers and
mm-hmm.
I'll say that. But then like if it really doesn't get a good return and it's something that
oh,
I really...
Oh, it affects you.
100%. I had a meltdown the other day over a picture of Shek Shuka that I posted that I was so proud of.
Wait, where was it from?
It was... No, I made it.
Oh,
so
ooh.
That was another reason.
Yeah.
Like, I love to cook and I make
mm-hmm.
recipes and like... And also people pay me to do that now
mm-hmm.
too. That's another way I make my money, is like I'm a brand ambassador for Fresh Direct. I should mention that. make recipes for them.
Do you
like
have a
every
discount?
Week. Yeah, I know, right? Maybe. But yeah, like I make recipes for them every week. So I posted this Shek Shuka and it was doing horribly and I had a meltdown. I like literally almost came to tears over it. I yelled at my cat and then I yelled at a sponge. I don't really know why it was in that order, but I like dropped a sponge and I yelled at it. I was losing my mind because I was like, and then I was like, this is so sad that like I care this much about an Instagram post. But again, when your money, like when your
mm-hmm.
job relies on that and money is on the table for it, you know, you want
there's
it
there's just
do
so
well.
Many variables. So like, do you post literally every single day the same
yeah.
day, the same time?
Yeah,
you know, it's people's when do they active on the app, like
right.
of course if it's sponsored it's
yep.
inevitably gonna do
worse
than your organic post. There's
yeah.
just so many factors, so that's why I need to like
right.
remind myself of that.
Same, and I do the same thing too. And it actually, what was funny is that one of my friends was like, and he's another like food blogger that I'm very close with, he was like, don't worry, like it might pick up later. That happened to me recently
mm-hmm.
where I posted something,
yeah, I'll
and
see
it
stuff
up.
Like 3 days later,
yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh thanks algorithm, but like it still didn't do well as
mm-hmm.
like it would have if
mm-hmm.
it was, if this was like 3 years ago,
right?
I mean,
100%
so. But whatever, yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's hard to not let that stuff get to
mm-hmm.
you.
I can relate.
Yeah,
I know you mentioned about like the anxiety and all that as what keeps you up at night. Is that also your confession? Or is there like a deeper part of it?
I mean that's part of it. I think, like I said, I talk about it a little. I mean, I'm pretty open with like my mental health stuff, like on Instagram. Like I've written blog posts about it that people seem to like resonate with, and that's why I do it, because I feel like it's something that a lot of people don't talk about, but like the struggles with depression
mm-hmm.
and I had PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder after the car accident, like all that kind of stuff. And I've come a long way in terms of managing it, but I feel like most people know that. I'm trying to think what else is there like a confession. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Like, yeah, I mean, if it doesn't come naturally, it's okay. Yeah. Well, like, for me, my first episode, I was talking about, like, a health issue that I had. Mm-hmm. I was having, like, an absent menstruation.
Oh.
I got off birth control, and then, literally, I didn't have my period for, like, I want to say 10 months.
That's like me. I have that, kind of.
But it was so, like, for me, it obviously freaked me out. Mm-hmm. I want kids, and I thought maybe it had to do with, like, infertility. Like, just, like, a whole bunch of stuff. But I ended up doing acupuncture and like Chinese herbs, and wow, then I got my period back, so like I'm super happy about that. But wow, it was a confession I had because nobody knew I was going through that. Mm-hmm. And I was just in this like internal like battle with myself, being wow, like, is something wrong with me? Because all my test results were normal.
Yeah,
like, that's, you know, crazy. What I mean, the doctor was like, you're fine, and I was right, like, well, I'm not getting my period, and mm-hmm, obviously that's part of, you know, being a woman,
right?
So stuff like that, or other people have just spoke about, I don't know, like, their insecurities. I mean, it's, I mean, fine. Yeah. You,
well, I
your
guess
anxiety.
Anxiety is one of them, but yeah, I think now that you mention it, definitely something I don't talk about a ton, but, like, the, like, dating, doing this and, like, just dating at my age in general, like, being
single. Are you dating?
I mean, I try, but no.
Girl, I'm on the same boat.
It's bad, but, like, you're also younger than me, so
yes,
you're lucky,
but
in that
still,
sense, but
yeah.
No, it's hard. But that's something that I don't talk about a ton, because I'm just, like, I mean, again, I'm not, like, super active with dating. I go in phases, but, like, it's very hard as you get older. And, like, one thing that's also just frustrating from, again, like, the friends side of things and family is, like, I'm, again, 34. I'm going to be 35 in, like, a few weeks, God help me. And, yeah, it's just, like, it's a lot of pressure eventually, you know? Like, people see you and they're like, oh, when are you having kids? I'm like, I don't know. How about I get a fucking boyfriend first and then, like, ask me again? Like, ask me, it was like, what's that magic eight ball? Ask me again later, like, chill. And also, I'm not somebody who was ever super, super into having kids, so that's definitely something I don't ever really talk about. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this is exactly. I've spent many hours in therapy trying to figure it out, but it's just never been, I was never one of those women who, like, goes
but that's
out
fine.
Over kids. And, like, right,
yeah,
but, like, it's hard because I think back now to some of my relationships where I was, like, steadfastly against it. Like, there were guys that I had dated that I told them, like, no, and they wanted them. And I was just, like, I literally don't even remember that. Like, now I'm more, like, I'm open to it now.
Okay.
But the thing is, I'm also older.
But I think,
so.
I was going
to
say that. It all depends on, like, the timing. When
right.
And shit changes.
Right.
Like, your mind changes. Like,
exactly.
You go through stuff.
Right.
So it's totally understandable.
Right. So it's, like, I think about that now, and I'm, like, oh, shit. Like, sometimes it would make me think, like, oh, did I make a mistake? But then I'm like, no, because I don't like to live my life with that.
Totally.
Kind of
regret. And at that time
yeah.
of your life,
right.
that's
that
not what
truth.
You wanted.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was my truth at the time. And now, like I said, I'm more open to it. But it's funny because now it's like it came along, I guess, at this time where I'm getting older and I really would like to be, I would like to be settled down with somebody. Like, I'm just done with, like, dating. I've done it for so long. My last relationship really wrecked me. I was, like, a disaster after that. And, like, it sucks because, you know, you bounce back, and then if the opportunity even comes along again, you're kind of like, do I even want to take that mm-hmm. leap, you know? So that
you gotta start all
been,
over again.
Yeah.
You gotta open up to people. Like,
it's
I have
hard,
such
yeah.
a guard up that it's
same.
It's
yeah.
like
yeah,
yeah,
same here. So once you do break that down, though, it's like then I'm all like,
I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm all in once that happens. But yeah, it's tough to get through to me in that kind of way. So I think that that's something I definitely don't talk about a ton, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, I'm sure other people can relate. I mean,
yeah.
even though we are at different points of our lives, like, I'm kind of,
right.
I'm on the same boat, honestly.
Yeah.
I relate to that. And
yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Right, exactly.
But
it goes by so fast.
You just, I know, you just have to, you know, let it be.
Yeah.
Because
can't force it. It's
exactly.
not something you can force, and I don't ever try to force it. That's why, like, you know, some of my friends are just so, so active on, like, dating apps and things like that, and I'm just kind of like, I go in phases, but for the most part, I really don't push it on that
mm-hmm.
end of it, because I just feel like it's, again, I'm not, like, dying to run down the aisle and get married.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I would love to meet somebody that I feel is, like, my partner and somebody who's, like, on my team. That's really all I want.
Right.
It's just somebody to be, like, in my corner and, like, that kind of way, but I'm not like, oh my god, I have to get married and have a kid and
right.
a house. I don't give a shit about that. It's
mm-hmm.
just the companionship is nice.
Totally.
Sometimes you spend as much time alone as I have.
I know. That's the thing. I think when we work for ourselves, mm-hmm. it does get lonely. Like, oh, yeah. even though there are social events, I mean, I don't always say yes to all of them.
And I go for fucking 20 minutes and then I leave.
I'm always the first one there.
Yeah.
So same. I can leave early.
Same page, 100%.
That's so funny.
But yeah, exactly.
Okay, I have one more serious question before we wrap it up. Yeah. And I just thought about this. What is one thing that you love most about yourself?
One thing I love most about myself. I feel like I'm kind of, so I'm also not a like conceited person, and I feel like I actually try to be the opposite of that because I'm so self-deprecating, like, you know, my sense of humor, that so this is hard for me to like even say, but I feel like I'm kind of unbreakable. Like, I feel like I've been through a lot of bad shit in my life, and like I said, some of it I could have spoken about in my confession, but it's just like not the time. You know, but I've been through a lot of bad shit, and I feel like I keep bouncing back, and I'm proud of that because I think that a lot of the things that happened to me, if they happened to other people, I think could have, you know, could break you, it could just make you a different person. And I think I took most of the things that happened to me and I flipped it around and turned it into a positive. So I think, yeah, I think that's what I would say.
I know it's a probably weird question because it's one of those things where I think people are like, wait, what? Because it makes you look at yourself in a different light, in a positive light.
Right. And you're like, wow.
Exactly. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And just like me getting to know you as well, you definitely do appear to me like super strong.
Yeah.
Like, you have your shit together. Like, don't fuck with you. Like, you know, like, even if you do, like, regret it.
That's funny. My friends say that about me. They're like, you have this, like, don't fuck with me. Yeah. I'm like, great.
But not like an off-putting way. It's just more like, again, like, I don't know all the stuff that you've been through, but I'm like, I can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that's why, like, she is the way she is. Yeah. But in a great way. Like,
thank you.
You can overcome any struggles. So I love that.
Thank you. A lot of people, when they meet me, they're like, I notice people always tell me their secrets. And I'm like, why do people tell me this? And my friends are always like, because they can sense you've been through some shit and you're not going to judge them. I'm like, that's probably true.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, I would like to take this moment to acknowledge you and just thank you so much for taking your time to do this. And also, I love that I was able to just message you and was like, hey, are you free this day? Let's do it.
I know.
I think a lot of people would be a little hesitant or be like, oh, this doesn't work, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You made it like a priority, and I really, really, really respect that.
Thank you.
I can't wait for us to grab coffee after this so we can actually just chit chat.
Yes, offline stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess just tell the audience what you're currently up to. I know you have a press trip coming up.
Yes. So we got shoots today. It's a busy week. I have another shoot later this week with another client of mine, and then have the press trip. Oh, actually, also mention, I'm going to Alaska in June.
Wait.
This is a funny story. I'll make it quick, though. The International Food Bloggers Conference is in Alaska this year, and I got asked to speak, so I'm
giving... Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm giving like an hour.
And it's
talk.
Alaska.
Yeah.
I've like, never who been, the hell like, goes to Alaska? Nobody. What is there?
Exactly. I have no idea, but I'm going to find out, because that was one of the reasons I was like,
how,
oh my God.
For how many days?
Well, I mean, I extended it. I mean,
okay, good. I was going to tell you, like, please use this trip to like enjoy yourself.
Exactly. Thank you, because I thought the same thing. I was Thursday to Sunday is the conference, and I was like, I'm staying till Wednesday. So
oh wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so
oh
I'm
my god. No, you'll be good. Just wing it, girl.
Yeah. Oh, and I will be also on a panel at Blog Her Food in Brooklyn in May. So
cool.
If you guys are around and you want to come see me on a panel, I'll be there too.
And then what about like the book?
Oh yeah, the book. Oh gosh. So I am writing a book, but it's very early stages. I'm still like writing chapters. It's been kind of a struggle for me to actually like get this on paper. No pun intended. But yeah, I'm working on it. I'm hoping that, like, I mean, if you're a publishing house and you hear this, hit me up. Because right now I'm kind of like, I have a few places in mind that I want to like pitch it to, and like I have like a couple meetings set up, but nothing's like concrete. So
that's
just
exciting. That's so exciting.
Yeah, we'll see.
I can't wait to read it.
Oh my God, thanks.
I'm gonna try to be your first customer.
I will send you a
reserve that spot though. Actually, don't
yes.
like don't Give me like a pre.
Oh my god, I'll give pre-launch. You a pre one where it's like not even like the like actual bound thing. Yeah.
Love it.
Amazing.
All right, thank you so much. If you guys want to find Zara, I'll leave all her information below. But on Instagram, it's skinnypignyc. And she has amazing content.
Thank you.
So, yes, thank you so much again. And stay tuned for the next episode. Bye.